I'd like to ask you this morning to join with me in reading one verse of Scripture from a rather well-known passage of Scripture recorded about the ministry of Jesus here in the earth. We're going to talk about something that happened as a part of one of the better-known Bible stories that we began learning as a small child, mainly because it's about a man who has a physical stature often like we are as a small child. He was a man who couldn't see over a crowd. Rather than talk about what happened as part of the whole of the story, I want to focus on one thing this morning. I want you to read with me the words that we're told in Luke chapter 19, verse 5. Luke chapter 19, reading verse 5. When Jesus came to the place, that is to the place where this man was, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. The thing I'd like to ask you to think with me about today is something that's involved with those words that said, Jesus looked up and saw him. Jesus looked at him. That particular thought was something that began to weigh on my mind yesterday morning. And I will be honest with you, I chose this particular incident to sort of illustrate it in a much broader sense. I began to think about the fact that Jesus cast his eyes upon us. I remembered some hymns and some songs. One song that I grew up singing, and I think it's back in our hymnal now, but there's an all-seeing eye watching you. A gospel song that I remember being sung by one particular tenor singer, The Eyes of Jesus. And I began to contemplate just what it meant that the eyes of Jesus the Christ are turned and focused upon us. Jesus, who is said to be God, come in the flesh. Jesus, who said, I and my Father are one. The idea that the eyes of the Almighty Eternal God are turned to look upon someone like me. Now think about that for a moment. God, who sits in heaven on his throne, he's not up there in a beach chair kicked back paying no attention. He's not up there in a whirlwind where he can't slow down and pay attention to it. He's up there doing what he has committed himself to do. And that is that God turns his eyes upon his children. He doesn't get with all of you. He doesn't get too busy for me. And when he turns his attention to all that I've got going on in my life, he doesn't get too busy for you. Jesus came to a place where this one man was. And he looked up and saw him. This one man, who was not very imposing in stature. He wasn't like Saul of old, who was head and shoulders above all the rest of the people, where he stood out in the crowd. And morally, he really wasn't one of the pillars of community, because he was a tax collector, a publican, and later, by his own admission, he had wronged people in his job So this rather small, normal, ordinary man, who didn't have a whole lot to flash a red flag to draw attention, was one where Jesus looked up and saw him. What does it mean to you, folks, that Jesus looks at you? I want to ask you to notice four things with me very quickly in the Scriptures this morning. Four different passages of Scripture that speak of Jesus doing exactly that in four different circumstances, in four different ways. And I think it's very important for us to notice all four of these. I want you to notice, first of all, with me in Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 11. Jesus had entered into the city of Jerusalem. Jesus had come in at that time, which is referred to generally by the expression of the triumphant entry, when he came in to the acclaim of a multitude, to the dismay of the Pharisees and the Jewish religious leaders. He rode in on a donkey to those people who were crying, "Hosanna!" And yet after he came into town, this verse tells us something that Jesus did. Mark chapter 11, verse 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Jesus had come into town, and he went into his father's house, the house that he said in the second chapter of the book of John, that was a house that was to be called a house of prayer. We're told that Jesus came into the temple, and he walked, and he looked around, and he looked upon all things. Now, I understand in that expression, this was not just some passing glance where he walked in and, "Yep, this is my father's house." He walked in, he entered into this place that was always a place that was a hub of activity. You understand that there were three different courts. Well, actually, there were four different courts. There was the court of the women, which was the outermost circle. There was the court of men, to which anybody who was a male, Jew or Gentile, could come. Then there was the court into which the Jewish men could come. Then there was the place into which only the priesthood could enter. And because you had people who were bringing their offerings, they would bring sin offerings, they would bring trespass offerings, they would bring meal offerings, they would bring offerings of commitment. Sometimes they were offerings that would require the slaying of an animal. There were offerings in which bread and meat that had already been slain and things that were given to the service of the priesthood. This was the center of the city of Jerusalem. So when this says that Jesus walked in and looked around upon all things, he took note of all that was going on. Nothing escaped his attention. Now, think about that, folks. There's not anything in all the hubbub of our life that escapes his attention. He looks upon all that goes on in our surroundings, by the way, remember, if you will, that Paul reminds us in his writings to the church at Corinth. He said, what? Know you not that you're not your own? You've been bought with a price, and your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So Jesus doesn't just look at what goes on around the physical structure of the house of worship. Jesus looks at all that goes on in our lives. And I want you to notice one other thing about this particular thing. What he saw then became part of what he dealt with in the next days of his teaching in the temple, leading up to that time where he was arrested and crucified. You remember he went out to the city of Bethany. He came back into the temple and he taught the people. And he taught the people in some of the things that he looked upon and saw. He talked about the commitment of sacrifice and the fact that God wasn't pleased with just somebody going through the motions of bringing an animal when there was no value in the spirit, in person's spirit. He talked about the giving of offerings. You remember that? And we'll talk about this one a little bit more later on. But there was a lady that came through, and a widow who put in her mites. She put in all that she had to give. And he had seen many who put in of all of their abundance, but even this one didn't miss his attention. And he reminded them of the importance of giving what we have with the commitment of service, not just saying, well, yeah, I can afford this. I'll let them have. I give the Lord all that I have. You see, folks, the one thing we need to understand about the eyes of Jesus, when Jesus turns His eyes upon us, He sees all that's going on. And He will address those things in our lives. He addressed the sins of the Pharisees and their teaching. He addressed the error of the offerings that were sometimes made. He addressed the actions of the faithful. Jesus doesn't just look about for no purpose. He looks to bring His Word to bear upon our life, on those things that He sees about us. So folks, remember, oh, it's a good thing. Oh, Jesus is watching me. Yeah, but He's watching you upon all things, not just the things you want Him to watch. And when He sees, like a loving father, He will correct. You see, that brings us to a second thing that I want you to notice. Jesus knows the hardness of our heart, too. Look with me again in the book of Mark, but go back to Mark chapter 3. I want to read the first 5 verses, but I'll call attention to one particular verse. But this is a case where Jesus is again in a house of worship. It's not the temple in Jerusalem this time. It's in one of the cities to which He goes preaching the gospel, and He goes into a synagogue. This was a type of a local house of worship that grew up out of the period of time between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament. In that 400-year period, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the corruption of the high priesthood grew, also the practice of a synagogue and the reading of the Word of the Lord in local places grew. And Jesus went into that synagogue. Mark chapter 3. He entered again into the synagogue. And there was a man there with a withered hand. And they, that is the Pharisees, the scribes, they watched him, whether he would heal him, that is the man with the withered hand, that they, whether Jesus would heal this man on the Sabbath day. Now, there was never a question in their mind that he could heal the man. The issue was he going to do it today? Now, this is the Sabbath day, and you're not supposed to do works on the Sabbath day. And they were looking, not because they were so worried about the integrity of the Sabbath day, but they wanted to accuse Jesus. And he said to the man which had the withered hand, "Stand forth. Come here, brother." And the man walked near to him, and he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill?" But they held their peace. They wouldn't even answer him. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, "Stretch forth thine hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. You see, Jesus looked about on every one of these men, and it grieved his spirit that their heart was so hardened that in the name of the religion of honoring God, they wouldn't help one of God's children. In the name of routine, in the name of ritual, in the name of what I like, in the name of my comfort zone, in the name of tradition, as he uses the term on another place, they wouldn't get the ox out of the ditch. Jesus saw the hardness of their heart. A heart that was hardened, not to the name of religion. These were the most religious people in town. And yet their hearts were hardened to the needs of other people. Jesus looked upon them with anger. Now, put that with the first fact. Jesus looks at everything that's going on in our life, but when we allow ourselves to become so hardened, Jesus looks upon us with anger. We don't think, "Oh, Jesus is all love." Jesus got angry. And anger in and of itself is not a sin. Now, it can become so. But Jesus on one occasion made a scourge and drove Pharisees out, or the sellers of sacrificial animals out of the temple. He looked upon them with anger because he had a righteous anger. And I'll tell you, folks, when we allow ourselves to become hardened through our own ideas that would turn us away from the Lord, it angers our Savior who died to redeem us from our sins. Jesus looked upon all that went on. Jesus looked upon the hardness of their heart with anger. Look with me now at a third situation. We're told in the book of Luke chapter 22, verses 61 and 62. Jesus had now been arrested. Jesus was being interrogated. Jesus was being shuffled from one place to another. Jesus had been beaten. Jesus had been blindfolded and struck. And while all of this was going on, Peter was sitting by a fireside, kind of hiding himself out in the courtyard. He denied three times that he even knew who Jesus was. There was a lady who turned her eyes upon Peter, and yet he denied, "I don't know the man." Some of the others turned their eyes on Peter. Your accent gives you away. You're a Galilean. I'm not connected with that guy. I saw you with him. No, not me. I don't know the man. And he even used vile language to separate himself from the idea of this righteous man. And when he did the third time, you know the story of the rooster crowing. Just like Jesus had told him was going to happen. Now notice in Luke chapter 21. I'm sorry, chapter 22, verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Jesus looked upon Peter. What do you think his eyes might have looked like at that moment? Do you think it was a passing glance? Or do you think he locked eyes with Peter? Whatever it was, it was sufficient to bring to Peter's mind the very words that Jesus had spoken and to break his pride. You see, folks, in our lives, when there's sin in our lives, even though we might see it as self-preservation, even though we might see it as getting along in the world, when we have done what the Word of God cautions us not to do, Jesus looks upon us, and it wasn't with a heart, He wasn't grieved with Peter's hardness of heart. Because He had told Peter, "Peter, Satan hath desired to have you, but I have prayed for you." And when he looked upon Peter, it was because he was making intercession and had made intercession and was dying to cover the very thing that Peter was doing. You see, folks, Jesus looks upon us. He turns his eyes upon us because he loves us even in the weakness of our sin. And it is to break our pride and to break our disobedience. He didn't disown Peter. Because later on after the resurrection, he met Peter beside the Sea of Galilee and he asked him three times, "Peter, do you love me?" And gave him a job to go do. And yet, his view, looking at Peter, was sufficient to break Peter's self. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Folks, think about that. Jesus looks upon sinful creatures like you and I to make us aware of our disobedience, to make us aware of our failings, and to break us from the continued arrogant practice of just walking in our own way. Jesus looked upon Peter. And then very quickly, I'm going to get back to Zacchaeus, okay? I want to look at Zacchaeus and one other person. Go with me back to Luke chapter 19. Here was Zacchaeus up in the sycamore tree. Here was Zacchaeus, the publican. Here was Zacchaeus who climbed a tree to be able to see over people because he wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus walked under the tree and he stopped and he looked up and saw him. Zacchaeus could have been wearing camouflage to blend into the leaves of that tree and Jesus would have seen him. You see, folks, Jesus looked upon this one and he said, "Zacchaeus, come on down. I got to go to your house today. I'm going to go home and have lunch with you. I'm going to spend some time with you. I'm going to talk with you. I'm going to be around you and your friends. Because he invited the publicans and the tax collectors to come to his house where Jesus was. Now, keep your finger there just a minute and turn with me over to another passage of Scripture in the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. I told you I was going to talk about that little lady who made her offering that Jesus noticed. He looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow has cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living she had. Folks, between looking at Jesus looking up to see Zacchaeus, literally looking up in a tree, and looking up to see this woman among a bunch of rich men, he spoke to encourage and to strengthen and to comfort his little children. His eyes were upon them. He taught Zacchaeus and made the statement of him that afternoon, this day hath salvation come in the house of Israel. He brought Zacchaeus to be aware of the relationship he had. He saw this woman who committed all that she had, and Jesus praised her in the face of others who paid no attention. You see, Jesus sees all that there's going on in our life. One thing I want you to remember is he looks upon all there is. And what he sees, sometimes he sees to teach us otherwise. Sometimes he sees to speak to us in anger, righteous anger. Sometimes he would humble the hardness of our hearts. Sometimes he would break our spirit and our pride from walking to protect ourselves, to commit ourselves to follow him. Sometimes he looks upon us to encourage and to comfort and to recommend and to put us out before others as a testimony of his grace in our lives. Jesus looked up and saw. There are other cases when that expression is used, but I think these four suffice for what I want to try to leave with you today. How often do you stop and think about the fact that Jesus turns his eyes upon you? We sing the song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." But have you ever thought that Jesus turns his eyes and focuses on you? The all-seeing eye, the all-righteous eye, the loving eye, the holding eye, the encouraging eye. What do you think the difference might have been with the look in his eyes when he looked at that woman who gave everything she had to give than when he looked at Peter who had just fallen flat on his face? I don't think there was a smile in his eyes when he looked at Peter. That's why Peter went out and wept bitterly. I think he was smiling in his eyes when he looked at the love that this woman had for him. You see, sometimes he doesn't smile at us. But the marvelous thing is sometimes he does. He stopped and he looked up at Zacchaeus and said, "Come on down, Zacchaeus, and be quick about it. I got to go to your house today." And I don't think there was any drudgery in that statement. I don't think there was any regret in that statement. I think Jesus had a smile on his face and a smile on his eye. But he looked upon all of them. He sees all there is to see. He knows the hardness of our hearts. when we're more concerned about our way than doing what He tells us to do. He knows the pride of our life that needs to be broken. He knows the weakness of our flesh that needs to be encouraged. Thank God that He turns His eyes and looks upon us. Father in heaven, thank You today that You look down upon us in mercy. You look upon us in compassion. You reach out to us in Your grace. Father, break our pride and boastful hearts by Your look. For whom You love, You chasten. Correct us, Father, as You look upon us. Make us conscious of Your stare upon us in our failing. And help us to weep bitterly over it, knowing that You will later forgive and call us in Your service to You, the job You want us to do. Help us, Lord, to find Your smile and to find the encouragement we need even in the most difficult times of our life. Help us to be faithful, knowing that You look upon us. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen.